Let's do my favorite. Let's answer some questions. Let's load up the room. We are on every platform as of now. So you can ask questions anywhere. And I know some people have submitted them. Go ahead, Nick. Where are we taking the first question?
Let's go ahead and take our first question as a live guest. I know we have our friend DB who is patiently waiting. So bringing him in now to kick us off with the first question of the day.
All right, DB.
Hey, David. Hey, Nick. How's it going?
We're going great. What's going on?
Excellent. So I'm super excited to see you on Thursday. And my question, who I think would that would, might be helpful for the entire audience, is if you are raising capital for a software firm, what are your top three recommendations? What should you have prepared for the investors? What
Yeah.
really would land?
There's three things. You need documentation to allow for credibility. That's the number one thing. So the more credible you are in the investment world, especially with software, the greater the statistical success of them believing what will follow. And too many people don't take the time to spend on credibility, and they don't go through the information that they have, either orally or written in a presentation, with a fine-tooth comb of credibility. Two, understanding what people like and don't like. In other words, emotional connection. People buy on emotion for logical reasons. So you have to have some mechanism to learn what's working, what's not working, what they like and what they don't like, because value will be derived solely upon those two areas of being able to facilitate giving people more of what's working or what they like, or taking away what's not working or what they don't like. And the third, to raise money is your ability to utilize the capabilities of your company and yourself and your team, the software itself, in order to infuse that value of credibility, emotional connection, and impact to be able to articulate it in a confident and comfortable way to exceed what you're asking for investment wise. Those are the three things. If you can do at a high level, you are guaranteed success if you get in front of enough people to be credible, to have emotional connection of understanding the like and dislike, the what's working, what's not working, and utilizing the capabilities of the software, the team, the business in order to facilitate and infuse a value of the reasons, impacts, and capabilities that you have to articulate it in a comfortable, confident manner to exceed what you're asking for. And if you do all three of those well, like I said, I haven't seen one company that I haven't worked with in teaching them these three things that haven't been able to get more than enough investment at a higher valuation.
Excellent. Excellent. So thank you very much. I appreciate the time, and we will pick up on Thursday.
All right, I'll see you in a couple of days, buddy. We'll be at the Irvine Towers. DB will be joining us with Tim Story and many, many more. We got the release of Go Fund Yourself, a mastermind and VIP dinner. You got to show up in person on the phone via email and media. Build a community of people. DB's a member of it, our private networking community, where we're here to help one another. Know people that can help one another with this one-on-one access to me to answer questions. Nick of WOM. I got some online questions too, but where do you want to go, and what do you want to do?
Absolutely. I got a online question here from Matt Ford, and then we'll come live here on Clubhouse to Acosta, who is patiently waiting. But Matt is saying, I'd like your advice on mastering the discovery process and overcoming objections.
Yeah, well, this is an area that I've spent many years teaching and have come to a greater simplicity in understanding the discovery process. And of course, I have fallen away from overcoming objections. For me, I have an open-minded, open-ended question template that I give everyone for free. So if anyone likes my answer and you'd like this template, this exercise, this guide, just email me, david@dmelzer.com, and I will teach you the best and most statistically successful way to discover value and to avoid objections. You don't need to overcome them. There's nothing to go over and around or through. You don't need to lie to achieve it, manipulate it, or deny it. You just have to supply value so there are no objections. And so what I've developed is an open-ended and open-minded question guide, where first you have to know that you're dealing with an open mind, because it takes 1,000 times or more the energy and statistics to assess in order to overcome an closed mind. Now, that doesn't mean give up on the first route, because I use at least a 3-no rule, because closed minds, every mind has a period in which they're open, right? So there are no people that have closed minds all the time, and there's very few people even that have open minds all the time. But the easiest person to sell is a person that has a closed mind, and you catch them when you have an open mind. So using the 3-no rule, we can catch someone with a closed mind that has an open mind. The reason that is statistically successful is that if someone majority of the time has a closed mind and you catch them when they have an open mind, they don't have many other options. So they're the easiest people to sell. But utilizing the open-minded qualifier, moving to the discovery process to avoid objections, not to overcome objections. If we want to avoid objections, we need to know that value, as I mentioned earlier to DB, is derived in two ways: giving people what they like or taking away what they don't like, giving them more than what works or taking away what's not working. And in order to do that, we need to ask what they're doing today, an open-ended question of what they're doing today, pertaining to the subject matter, topic, expertise, product, service, solution, or brand in which we are trying to articulate a value in. And so as we ask that open-ended question of tell me what you know or what are you doing today about this type of software, solution, service, or some personal brand or some other topic, subject matter, or expertise. And as we gather data in this discovery process of what they're doing today, pertaining to the subject matter, topic, or expertise, or product, service, solution, or value that we're trying to convey, we then can ask the critical question, would it help you if? And as we gather more and more information about what they like or don't like, what's working or what's not working, and we get to would it help you if, the more times they say yes, we then can practice articulating the quantitative value of how we can be of service or value to them to exceed what we're asking for. Therefore, there will be no objections, because they have told you already that it would help them if, and it's just a matter of comfort level and confidence of you articulating that value to exceed what you're asking for. And it also allows you to build the community of people of open-minded, open-hearted, and open-handed people by asking the secondary question of, do you know anyone that can help me, including the person that you're talking to? So when we're facilitating an open mind and asking an open question of what they know or what they're doing today, according to a product, a service, or a solution, or a subject matter, topic, or expertise in any type of realm, and we continue to ask more and more open-end questions about how and what they like, how and what is working, how and what doesn't like, and how and what is not working, we then can derive through the capabilities that we have for the reasons, impacts, and those capabilities of value by asking, would it help you if? And do you know anyone that can help me? This open-minded, open-ended question template is proven. It's proven not only to be the most effective, efficient, statistically successful way to discover value, but also to avoid objections, not overcome them. And Matt Ford, I'd be more than happy to give you more information. We'll give you the exercise and the guides. Anyone here, just email me, david@dmeltzer.com. I'm happy to help. Please, everyone, utilize the best way to discover value and to avoid objections. That's awesome. All right, Nick, I know you're an expert at the open-minded, open question guide, and I know you have made millions of dollars doing that and bringing in incredible success. Who's coming up next and what question do we have?
Absolutely. Doing just a quick reset here, everybody. Welcome and thank you for joining us, whether you're online, as of course we're streaming everywhere, or live here in the Breakfast with Champions on Clubhouse. This is the Ask Me Anything session with David Meltzer. You guys bring the questions, he will bring the answers. So if you are joining us online, please make sure to put your questions in the room chat. And if you're live here on Clubhouse, use that hand icon to request to join the stage. Now, with that said, David, we have Acosta, who is live here patiently waiting. I believe it's John is his first name. So, John, great to see you, my friend. Feel free to unmute yourself and ask away.
Hey guys, thanks so much, and thank you, David, for always hosting these awesome AMAs. You know, one of the questions that I have is, I deal with, you know, I'm a father, I'm an entrepreneur, and I facilitate a modality that deals with unresolved trauma in family systems, and I've been very passionate about this work since 2008. Right, I host a podcast on it. I write articles on it. I'm very, very passionate about it. And I've found that, you know, the thing that arrests organizations from breaking out of patterns or breaking through ceilings isn't necessarily the ability to deal with the financial side, with the P&L and the balance sheet. It's the ownership or the leadership's ability to deal with unresolved trauma, almost as an unresolved trauma resilience index score. And that people that do have great ideas, that are very talented, separate from the people that have great ideas, are very talented, but have a high unresolved trauma resilience score, that they are able to deal with their crap, right? Let's say it in a colloquial way, but they're extraordinarily successful doing that. And I want to create a PE firm that is a workshop that will fire organizations through its ability not only to have a healthy P&L, but also their deal with this unresolved trauma index score. And I wanted to see, is this a crazy idea? Am I on the right track? Am I onto something? And obviously you would be somebody that could ask that question and answer it because of your background.
Yeah, I think what's going to be critical, because there's a great value in what you're talking about, is to simplify the vernacular and market and create a marketability of the framing and branding of it. I think you get a little bit too therapeutic when you're talking about trauma. For me, I use a term called emotional expense. Now it becomes a line item. It becomes a column that can actually be quantified in a measurement that is more customary within the context of business. And so I think it's a superb idea. I think there's many different options and opportunities that you can have in order to facilitate value by giving them, like you said, more of what's working, what they like, or taking away what doesn't like. But I would pick a different branding mechanism and a vernacular vocabulary of some sort of expense, like an emotional expense. Stay away from therapeutic terms like trauma and things that may be misperceived as a little bit too subjective in their orientation or too emotional in their facilitation. And so if you can find a better way to recognize and acknowledge the emotional expense of that quote unquote trauma or some other vernacular that is a line item or can easily be fulfilled in an Excel sheet, I think you'll have great success. And this is a classic example, by the way, of the subtlety of success, and where when we're working within our private networking group and being able to give access to a community, it's also a frequency or a neighborhood where you can see by the comfortability and confidence of your articulation of this value where other people get lost, because we sometimes are too close to our own value that we don't realize a simple switch, you know, from, for example, with us, we started with a private coaching group with networking, but what we really were providing was a private networking group with one-on-one access and help daily. And once we made that shift, thousands of people are resonating with what we're doing and want to be a part of the neighborhood, the frequency, and that value. Here, I believe there's some sort of expense. The best term that I have in a quick review would be an emotional expense in lieu of the traumatic trauma therapeutic language that may cause resistance or confusion. Does that sound fair?
Yeah, I love that. I think that's spot on, because I always thought that the first day would be blocking and tackling with the P&L balance sheet, and the second day would be like a systems and that emotional expense, like identify your emotional expense in your organization. So that's such great advice, and I think the branding will be huge. Is like, is your business stuck? Are you stuck at a million? Are you stuck at three? Are you stuck at five? Find out why, and then come to this workshop and work on it. So, David, thank you so much for that. I really appreciate it.
You got it. Yeah, there's a corporate thermostat as well as a personal one. So utilizing, elevating the frequency, the awareness, the temperature of that thermostat is crucial. And the vocabulary, vernacular, and description in simplistic terms is essential in branding and marketing and conveying value. Please come back and join us. Please join our private networking group. We want to have all of us in there, a bunch of people that want to help each other and know people that can help each other. Email me, david@dmeltzer.com. If you want any of the guides, exercises, my book, or to join the private networking group with one-on-one access every day to me. Nick, why don't we take another question online?
Absolutely. I have a question here from Javier, and he says, I work in insurance sales. How do I create more urgency for people to buy?
Well, first of all, understanding how urgency can be utilized within the context of a compelling event. So urgency is a subset of importance. And so what we need to do in order to create a compelling event, which then has a effect or an impact of urgency, is to create temporal responses. Temporal means time, linear time responses. And so what we actually need to do is understand the allowance of people to say no or change their mind. And in the context of understanding that every decision that we make in sales and every agreement that we make in sales, whether it's verbal, written, implied, with consideration or without, has a nuance to it, because the minute we make a agreement or decision, whether it's written, verbal, implied, or even with consideration, we have to be able to create a compelling event by understanding the changes that occur in time, value, and emotion. And when we give people permission to change with the time, value, and emotion, instead of trying to coerce them by overselling, back and selling, lying, manipulating, or cheating, or not giving them an opportunity to change their mind or even say no, we actually increase the resistance, which slows down the urgency. And so what I advise people to do, especially in insurance sales, is to utilize a three no rule and to allow people to change their mind and say no, and spend your time with either people that have an open mind and are able to convey value, or two, allow the people to adhere to, align with the supplementary and synergistic value that occurs from the time, emotion, and value changing after they said yes or after they came to a decision or an agreement. Meaning that at some point, the best way to compel somebody to buy is to allow them to change their mind or say no, and to allow the time, emotion, and value that has changed to align with their decision-making process to compel them to move faster, which is a simple message. When you feel as if you are pushing, or you have gotten no response or avoidance responses, I use a three no rule, where I simply on the third time compel them and create urgency by saying, hey, this obviously isn't the right time. When it is, let me know. 50% or so of the people never call you back, which will give you a huge advantage over your sales process and pipeline. But for the other 50%, those people that actually are interested, by knowing that you've given them the understanding of the time, emotion, and value that has changed, and given them permission to change, and given them permission even to say no, it actually compels them and gives them a sense of urgency to call you back and move forward. So the magic line of the three no rules of this obviously isn't the right time, when it is, let me know, not only exponentially saves you time by not chasing people that will never buy, but it is and creates a compelling event, a sense of urgency to get people to buy. So email me. I'll give you the three no rule videos and guides and exercises so that you can facilitate that unbelievable compelling event by stating and giving permission of people to change their mind and say no by saying this isn't the right time. When it is, let me know. All right. Awesome. Once again, everybody, please join us. David@dmeltzer.com. We got the best and biggest private networking group for all of us that want to help one another and know people that help one another. We'll buy from each other and sell for each other. Let's create a great community of abundance. All right, Nick Awam, online, in person, on one of the networks? Where are we going and what are we doing?
Absolutely. I say we stay here live on Clubhouse as we have Sean, who's patiently waiting, and then we can round out the session with the final closer question from online. Does that sound fair?
More than fair. Thank you for asking.
Beautiful. All right, Sean, the mic is yours, my friend. Thank you for patiently waiting. Feel free to unmute yourself and ask away. Great to be on here, guys. So what is the difference between like keeping up with the Joneses and being aligned with where the people who you want to be or who you want to be in the scene?
Yeah, there's a big difference, and that's a great question, by the way. No one's ever asked me that. So the difference is keeping up with the Joneses dwells within comparison. Comparison being the thief of joy, comparison creating more resistance, comparison creating a gap of energy between this is what I am and this is what I want people to think I am. Where in the other context of creating teams, aggregates of people to surround yourself, the right people with the right idea, allows you per subject matter, topic, or expertise to find the teams that you want to play on and pick what position you want to play in order to facilitate the fastest way to get to where you want to be or better, and to reduce the resistance, reduce the voids that are created by keeping up with the Joneses, by picking the team by subject matter, topic, or expertise, and finding the position that you want to play so that you can find someone who sits in the position you want to be on the team and ask them for directions, and then find people on your team that you can give directions to, because the fastest way to get to where you want to be is to find someone that's already there, ask them for directions, or help someone else get to where they want to be or better. That's a given. And the comparison is not going to get you there. The keeping up with the Joneses will create more void shortages and obstacles, more resistance and more distance between where you are and where you want to be, between I am and this, what do I want people to think I am, where in the context of aggregating teams of people that want to help each other, know people that can help each other to get to and have a purposeful intention of what position you want to play on that team according to subject matter, topic, or expertise will facilitate an acceleration and a decrease in the distance of resistance, because you will receive wisdom and faith, not competition and comparison, voids, shortages, and resistance. It's a very common mistake that people make, but you are and have the capability of joining as many teams as you want according to subject matter, topic, or expertise, and picking your position where you can ask others for directions to where you want to be and give others directions to where they want to be. That's why we created our private networking group. That's why we help one another. Fastest way, please join us. We want to provide value to everyone. It's a group of people that want to help each other and know people that can help each other. You got to email me to join us every single day, David@dmelzer.com. All right, Nick, let's take one last one for the Ask Me Anything grand finale. We'll see everybody Thursday in Irvine. We'll see everybody at the Super Bowl in Charlotte with Ed Mylett and me. We'll see him at the GoFund Yourself release party, GoFund Yourself filming meetups, opportunities. And don't forget the Super Bowl. We have Sirius XM, Marshall Faulk's culinary event, Players Impact with Patrick Peterson, Calvin Johnson, Ray Lewis, Marshall Faulk, Mike Tannenbaum, and the list goes on and on and on. But Ike's Deli on Friday at 1 p.m. in the quarter, it's the More Than Enough Meltzer sandwich, the no po' boy. That's right. None of us are po'. We all abundant. All right. Anyway, Nick, go ahead. What's the last question online?
Jonathan Bates, and he says, I work in sales and coaching. Can you share your specific techniques to increase my closing percentage?
Yeah, it's a 5 to thrive system to increase your closing percentage. But let me... And I'll send that to everyone. If you want the 5 to thrive training, not a problem. We have a Friday training we've done on it, and we have a more detailed video training course that we can give as well. But look, the fastest way to increase your closing percentage is to increase your opening percentage. What do I mean by that? See, today you don't have to qualify leads because the size, scope, and scale of the addressable, the total addressable community is unbelievably big. And so all I focus in specifically to start, the specific technique is the call back, email back, DM back, everything back training. Because if I can double the amount of people that get back to you in the get back to you training, you'll double the amount of your sales plus. What do I mean plus? Well, if I can increase double the amount of people that get back to you, triple the amount of people that get back to you, quadruple the amount of people that get back to you. Not only will you statistically close equal the amount of people that are in the pipeline by getting back to you, but you'll have practice. You'll get comfort and comfortable. You'll get comfortable and confident in the articulation of the value. You'll get better at selling. So if I can get twice as many people to get back to you with the Get Back to You Challenge training, then not only will you have twice as many sales, but you'll get better at selling. So you have more than twice as many sales, like the More Than Enough Meltzer sandwich, but in sales. And so email me. I will help you with the 5 to Thrive training. Come and join our private networking group. We'll get more people with open minds, open hearts, and open hands to get back to you. Get the Get Back to You training. All of it is right here with all of us for you to provide service and value, to empower you to make a lot of money, help a lot of people, and have a lot of fun. Thank you, everyone. We'll see you soon. Thanks, Nick. We are blessed. Thank you, everyone.